listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. This is Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. By the way, the weekly podcast Digesting Politics is back. It's a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. Brian and I just recorded a new one yesterday. Sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast for free at WNYC.org. What are you kids up to this summer? Or your kids? Unless they're enrolled in a camp or reading program, some experts think they're at risk for losing the math and reading skills they learned in school last year. It's a phenomenon called summer learning loss. But how worried should we really be? Here to explain are Marty Forth, YMCA's Senior Director for Teen Programs and Services, and Ken Gold, Associate Professor of Education at the College of Staten Island and the author of Schools In, The History of Summer Education in American Public Schools. Marty, Ken, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marty, how real is summer learning loss, and how do you measure it?
How do we measure it? When kids return back to school, often you can measure what they've learned at the end of the school year and then measure it again when they get back to school.
And you was that from Marty?
Yeah.
Either one of you could answer. Just say who you are.
This is Ken.
Okay.
I can speak to that a little bit because I'm a historian, but I'm conversant with some of that literature. And it's real and it's measurable, and there's been some really consistent, well, first of all, the evidence on that question is, you know, goes back 150 years, you know, or more, as just anecdotal evidence. You know, from the earliest kind of accounts of teachers, they, you know, have come back and sort of said, my God, the kids don't remember anything that we taught them last year. Researchers began measuring this or investigating this question over a century ago, and about 5 or 10 years ago, someone sort of did what's called a meta-analysis and takes a look at all of the different kinds of studies that can be compared to each other, and looking at all of them, concluded that there's about a one-month loss of skill and knowledge in math and reading and language arts that occurs during the summer. And, of course, there are variations by age and particularly socioeconomic status.
But isn't sort of, I mean, all of pedagogy is sort of based on the approach that, you know, you're going to sort of need to start with a review. So, I mean, that is how school years traditionally start, with sort of a review of the things that you learned. And, you know, don't you eventually sort of get up to speed?
I think you do, but one of the reasons why this issue, I think, is especially important is because what some of the research on this question has found that when we look at efforts at, say, the education of poor and or minority students versus, you know, white and or middle class students and the gaps between them, and what some of the research has found is that really during the actual school year, the gaps have closed, and that a good chunk of the gap is accounted for by summer learning loss. So it really it becomes challenging, you know, for those of us who are concerned with, you know, issues of equity and really providing quality education for all and positive learning outcomes for all. The question of what goes on in the summer is especially important.
Marty Forth, you know, Barack Obama got a lot of attention recently for talking about parents' role in their children's education. And I'm wondering, I mean, you know, sort of talking about that income gap and in the issue of summer learning loss, whether sort of taking a more aggressive role during the summer would sort of get at some of the things, taking the kids to the library, making sure they read, that sort of thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, a lot of parents have to work during the summer just as much as they have to work during the school year, so they have to put their children into some sort of care system so that they can continue to make money for the family. But it's true. Any quality program that's running in the summer will try to engage the kids just as much as the parents, and there'll be take-home activities, there'll be reading at home, there'll be all these different kinds of activities that engage the whole family, not just the young person.
Ken Gold, isn't there something to be said for other things that you can learn during the summer, being exposed to different environments, going to the country if you live in the city, maybe traveling or elsewhere, maybe just even exploring your own city or your own neighborhood?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the questions is, you know, why are, you know, some groups not experiencing summer learning loss at the same level as others? And, you know, the answer is because they have opportunities to do some and all of those things that you've just described. It's not that they're sent, you know, that those kids are all going to summer school and in some sort of formal learning learning environment. It's that they have lots of what we might call educative experiences in the summer. They're not necessarily structured, although some of them are. And I think that's really, you know, the larger point is that, you know, the summer opportunities for kids need to be there, but they don't. It doesn't always have to be, you know, a formal program in a public school,
right.
Although those are valuable too.
And, yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, a residential camp where you're going up and learning how to swim, where you're learning how to canoe and all those great things, but you're also learning about group work. You're learning about how to socially interact with everybody. You're getting to try out the skills on the things that you maybe learned during the school year, but you weren't sure if you really loved, and you get to try them out in a more hands-on experiential way. That's what camp can be about. So,
my guests are Marty Forth, the YMCA's Senior Director for Teen Programs and Services, and Ken Gold, Associate Professor of Education at the College of Staten Island and author of Schools In, The History of Summer Education in American Public Schools. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. The phone number here at WNYC is 646-778-3729. That's 646-SPUD-RAY. And give us a call. Tell us whether you think that summer learning loss is something you worry about. I'm particularly interested in hearing from teachers and whether you think that there should be more attention to this phenomenon, whether you mind going back and having the fall review. And parents, if you're listening, tell us if you're doing anything to combat summer learning loss. Let's go to the phones right now. Alex from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello, Andrea. I just wanted to say that a lot of learning does go on in the summer, and you, like your guest mentioned before, it's social learning, learning how to interact with people whom you have not dealt with for the entire year. And I'll tell you, as a middle-class white guy, if I had to go to school for the entire year, I probably would have dropped out because that is just not fun. School is not that interesting that I'm going to be wanting to be there for all 12 months. So if people are going to go to school for the entire year, it better be a lot more interesting. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks for calling, Alex. Marty Forth of the YMCA, can you address that issue? I mean, I understand what is being said about sort of the income gap, but does that mean that lower-income people, you know, don't get that summer break that other kids do? And what's the effect of that?
The kids get the break, of course. I mean, they can go to summer school. In New York City, at least, summer schooling goes until noon one, and then a lot of different programs pick them up and engage them in great activities. But everyone can have the summer off in New York. So,
all right, let's take another call from Susan from Manhattan. Hi, Susan. You're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks. I just see this whole thing about lengthening the school day and the school year as one more effort to make us like Asian countries. And I want to point out, for instance, in Japan, they have a longer school day and school year, but into that, they include all the things that we count as after-school activities and summer camp. It's not all school all the time for them. And I also want to point out that for so many people, it's what they do in their off time that really informs what they end up doing as adults, not what they do in school. And this effort to make school endless for children is just going to backfire miserably. It already is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for your call, Susan.
Something to add on to that, I mean, the American Camping Association that accredits camps in all of the country, I mean, something that's really important to them is that camp is progressive, that kids are learning something, and they require that of all of their camps, which is so key. But the learning has to be kind of, you know, like the wizard behind the curtain. The kids have to try it out. They have to have choice. And that's what makes a camp or even an after-school program so beneficial.
All right, let's take another call. Thank you, Susan, for your call. And let's go to, can we take Jessica from New Jersey? Okay, Jessica? Oh, I think we're having a little trouble getting, here we go. Jessica, hi, are you, Jessica, I think you're here from Union Beach in New Jersey?
Yep, that's me.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You're on WNYC.
Hello.
Did you have a comment?
I did. I have great worries about my rising second grader in his summer learning loss. He's one of those marginal children that does not have any sort of diagnosed learning disability or any kind, but does have difficulty in school thus far anyway. So what I've done is I set up a mommy summer school, as I call it, and I quite literally bribe him, pay him 25 cents to do 10 tasks per week, reading, writing, all that lovely stuff. But I'm a little stuck.
25 cents, that's cheap.
I know. Well, I'm a cheap mom. So my question, though, is I have a friend who has their child in a tutoring program over the summer, and I just don't know. I mean, is there a certain recommended number hours per week that would help offset that summer learning loss, you know, per week during the summer?
Ken Gold, do you want to take that one?
I haven't seen – that's a great question. I haven't seen any specific recommendation for the number of hours. I would think it would really be sort of more about the kind of regularity. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you know, your son is doing something that you know, as part of your program that you feel is educative on a regular basis, I would think that would suffice. I mean, the earlier caller's comments about, you know, summer is also a time for just sort of personal growth and social development, you know, is certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finding that balance between, you know, the variety of things that summer can offer is, I think, your best bet.
How much opposition are you getting, Jessica?
I'm sorry?
How much opposition are you getting?
From my son?
Yes.
Well, to do the homework at, well, Mommy Summer School, I mean, money is always a very good motivator, but not as much as I get during the school year, strangely enough. And we really only work for about a half an hour, 45 minutes a day doing reading and writing, just regularity.
All right.
So he's actually opening himself up to it, but I think it's partially that he's getting paid to do it.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Lynn from Riverdale. Hi, Lynn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I'm a teacher, and what I wanted to say is that kids, they don't forget what they've learned. They forget what they've memorized. It's short-term memory. When you're teaching to a test, they forget those facts that, you know, they're forced to memorize. But if it's authentic learning, critical thinking, using their heads well, they don't forget that.
All right. Ken Gold, do you want to address that?
Well, I think, you know, that's, you know, a point well made. You know, the I think what they, you know, if the true learning is embedded, and I would agree with that, but, you know, they do, you know, the research does show that they learn some of the critical writing skills and comprehension skills. It's just sort of the facility with language. And it falls off if they're not sort of repeatedly engaged with language for, you know, the 2-3 month period of summer. So I think that's my biggest concern as to what they do lose. I like the caller, I'm not worried if they, you know, no longer remember the capital of, Minnesota.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Mike, we're talking about summer learning loss on WNYC. The phone number is 646-778-3729. My guests are Marty Forth, the YMCA's Senior Director for Teen Programs and Services, and Ken Gold, Associate Professor of Education at the College of Staten Island. Marty Forth, the summer programs that you run, what kind of response do you get from the kids that are in them? Are they willing participants?
They are. I mean, kids are very happy to come back to camp, and we have the joy of repeat campers that are coming back. We're serving around 13,000 young people in New York in our camps this year.
So it's a camp, but it's a learning program?
Of course. It's regular camp. It's what we call a traditional group-based day camp, and we've infused into it things like literacy, memory books, snapshots that we're sending home to the parents. Your child learned this. We do goal setting with the kids. If they want to learn basketball skills, they want to learn nutrition, they want to learn how to do certain arts and crafts materials activities, we do that with them in advance, and then we work on those goals. And so they're setting goals and working towards them, and they're making that choice.
So do they understand that it's a learning program?
Some of them do and some of them don't. You got to play to your audience, right? So these kids are there for the fun, and so if we can make it fun and they learn something, then we're good to go.
Ken Gold, do you think that this country should be looking at other models of education, year-round education, like they do in other countries, or do you think that that is just not going to happen because of sort of cultural expectations?
Oh, I definitely think it's not going to happen. I mean, I think, you know, a couple of the earlier callers sort of tapped into those cultural expectations for summer, and I'm not even sure that, you know, it's that's what we need to push. I think what what I like is what an organization called the Center for Summer Learning, which is out of Johns Hopkins University, is doing. It's just really trying to encourage greater awareness and greater opportunities for summer learning, but sort of defining that very broadly. And I'm much more comfortable with approach like that, sort of giving more opportunities to people rather than sort of formally restructuring the school calendar.
Yeah.
Are there any places in the U.S. that has year-round education? We have a caller that wants to know that.
There are. Most of the places, though, that do it, and I haven't looked recently. I mean, in the past, Houston and L.A. were doing it, though I'm not sure if they still are. But most of those examples are not necessarily putting students in schools for a longer period of time. What they were really about were sort of handling just huge numbers of students and figuring out a way to sort of maximize their facilities so that if they were year-round systems, but kids still had chunks of time off, but they were not necessarily during the summer.
What about the idea that your brain just needs a, you know, I understand that this is sort of a cultural notion that is developed in American society, but what about the notion that your brain just needs to turn off for a while?
Well, you know, I can just tell you about the origins of the notion, which are a little amusing to me because, you know, in the early 19th century, there were sort of the medical thought encouraged that notion. In other words, the educators who were saying we shouldn't have, including Horace Mann, by the way, were saying, you know, we shouldn't have, you know, too much schooling for kids. It will overtax their mind. They were drawing upon a medical literature. But the medical thought, you know, left that idea behind, you know, a century ago or more.
On that note, we do have to wrap it up, but thanks very much to Ken Gold, Associate Professor of Education at the College of Staten Island, and the author of Schools In, The History of Summer Education in American Public Schools, and to Marty Forth, the YMCA's Senior Director for Teen Programs and Services. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. We'll be right back.